Hey everyone, who will be inevitably disappointed to be hearing my voice tonight instead of Brian's. My name is Allie Lasher, and welcome to episode 5 of the MTV Challenge Final Reckoning wrap up. Could we have any more names? Probably we could. Here with me tonight is not Brian, and not as always, but always a pleasure when he does join, a Survivor fan, Challenge fan, critical member of my Survivor watch party, Jonathan Foreman. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm sure if everyone's disappointed to hear your voice at the beginning of the podcast, they're going to be even more disappointed to hear my voice second in the podcast.
That's not true. I'm jumping in to be like, that's not true.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll give it an hour or so and see how many people stick around.
You should be careful, though, because you're dangerously close to not being novel anymore.
Oh, that's not good. No, I need to fix that. Can you just put me on the back burner for a long time and then... when I come back, it'll be a nice surprise for everyone. Can we do that?
I mean, you can say no at any time, but that's not going to stop me from asking you.
I'm not going to say no at any time.
No, it's like the first time somebody hears anyone on a podcast. I mean, you have to be decent. But when you're new, oh my God, look at these fresh takes. So fun. And then the next time, oh, I loved that guy last year. Perfect. Now, what number appearance is this for you on the show?
I think this is only my third.
Oh, you're fine. I think you have till 5.
Okay, got a couple more, and then I'm just going to retire before it becomes too much of a problem.
Yeah, Dane might be reaching the 5 zone.
Oh, Dane. Can't be doing that.
I don't know. Dane, you're on my shit list. I don't know if you're listening to the podcast, but on my shit list because I shouldn't say this, but I think he's going to sub for me next week, but he keeps tagging Brian in these. He's been doing a great job of keeping track of the drinking game, which I sent you. That screenshot I sent you, Jonathan, in preparation for the podcast, with an hour's notice, asked for a list of the drinking game. And Dane compiled that chart I sent you, but he doesn't tag me in it. It's like he's trolling me.
So you have to go dig and find it?
No, Brian nicely tags me in it after the fact, but it's just a nice burn to get out. Okay. Have you been keeping up with the drinking game? Have you been drinking?
That would be too much for Tuesday night or Wednesday night whenever I watch this. For me, but I am now up on what the tasks are in the drinking game.
What, do you have a job?
Yeah, something like
who
that.
Who has a job?
It's a weird thing, right?
Yeah, no. I don't have to work for another year. Okay, enough about that. So, I don't know how this works. This is uncharted territory. You're the first sub we've had. Do you add a thing? Do you fully sub for Brian? Are you prepared with something to add to the game?
I am prepared with something to add to the
game.
I knew
you would be. That was a trick question.
I mean, it was a close call for a little bit. Mine is literally from the last 5 minutes of the episode. And I was like, oh, I can do that. But I do have something ready.
If you would like me to add to it.
It is.
I'm going to be out next week. I don't mind the sub adding to the game. So I'm going to make the executive decision that we can add in. I guess Dane really will make the executive decision if he includes it in the chart or not.
He'll either add it or he won't, so we'll see.
All right, so what do you have for this week?
So my addition to the drinking game is that whenever there is someone who is clearly drunk in a confessional,
who sparked this?
Nelson. Obviously. Nelson at the end of the episode with his... whatever that's going on there with Kaylee, he was clearly drunk in one of those confessionals. Like eyes couldn't focus on the camera. It was obvious. And so that was like, okay, if we're going for a drinking game, we might as well make this a drinking game when someone's drunk.
I love this one for a number of reasons. One, it's hysterical. Two, I like the ones that are open to discretion, to use your discretion.
And when in doubt, drink.
Right. Rule number one. Somebody added it to Reddit. I should know who did this, but that's rule number one. So I like that. That's a good one.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. I have one. I think it's going to be rare. So I think all of these have mostly been just take a drink when. I am going to add finish your drink.
Oh.
When you see a member of the Challenge Rescue Squad.
Oh, that's really good. Whenever someone has to come out for Jose because they just can't.
That's what we need to talk about here is because I can never just have a simple one. Mine always need to be workshopped for a few weeks. Everything in my life needs to be workshopped. So I'm thinking more of the Challenge medical, right? But even if the scuba diver who came in to rescue Was it Jose this week? Yes.
It was Jose, yeah.
Like, that would definitely count. But first, when we even just saw the boat standing by, I kind of think that should count.
But what if it's just, like, sloppy camera work and, oh, there's a boat there now? I don't know about that. Okay. All right. When in doubt, drink. That's fine. It's your drinking game.
If you're of age and don't drink and drive and anything else, I don't know, you're a real lawyer. Do I have to issue any other disclaimers for this?
That sounds right to me. I think you caught it covered.
Okay. All right. So we'll workshop it. But like definitely when the scuba, I was thinking about it when I saw the boat. And then once I saw the guy in full scuba gear, I was like, all right, finish your drink.
And then like, and what if like an ambulance shows up? What do we do then?
Great question. I don't know. What do you think?
I think you got to go more than just finishing your drink. I think it's like take a shot.
Oh, but the amp. See, I think the ambulance is more common than the guy in the scuba gear.
Okay. If you say so.
I mean, there was a time, there was like one season where Brian and I talked about Challenge Medical like every week. And part of it was because they were seen a lot, and part of it was just because they were so novel and we'd seen them a lot.
Yeah.
I think, all right, you don't just get it for a flash of an ambulance, but if you speak with the doctor, you finish your drink.
Okay, that sounds great. I think you got this nailed.
It's if we see a person who's administering rescue aid on, and that is a quote you could put in your chart, Dan. Person administering challenge rescue aid, you finish your drink.
It's perfect.
All right. We wrap up. I guess, well, we haven't talked to you this season. What do you think of the season? Before I jump ahead, we have time.
At this point, like watching these shows, you kind of just have to assume that it's going to be on till like Christmas. That seems like a conservative estimate at this point. So I feel like that's the biggest complaint you can have about what's going on so far, is that it's very slow paced, but in terms of episode structure, but a lot is happening and a lot good is happening. So I've been happy with the season so far from that. Like once I get over the fact that it's going to be on until I die.
Yeah, I agree. I think this episode even in particular felt very slow. Like I'm not mad at the episode because we got an elimination in the sense that a team was eliminated, but like, by the time we got to the club, I was like, wait, this episode is still going? I don't know. It just felt very long. This does remind me, though, speaking of this being on until Christmas, are you willing to do 2-a-days at my apartment to watch a challenge and then watch Survivor on Wednesdays?
Whatever you want.
We'll figure that out.
TBD.
All right. So what do you make of Pauly? We've talked about the Big Brother crossover just in general, because like you've been on the show many times, but what do you make of Pauly in general this season?
So he's not playing well, right? Like if his goal is to be a longtime player in this game, like if his goal is to just come back over and over and over again, he's obviously got himself set for that, but he had that regardless. I think he wasn't pulling a Victor where he was just going to be a one and done on this show. And I feel like he has set himself up, especially with like sabotaging a relationship, as someone who's never going to be liked by these people. Like no matter what he does, I don't think he's ever going to be liked by the core MTV crew. And so if he ever wants to win this, then he's not going to do that. You can write that down and come back at me like 5 years when he finally wins a challenge. But if his goal is to be here over and over and over again, mission accomplished.
I don't wait a reasonable amount of time until I have evidence to come at someone. So I'm going to come at you right now. And I don't disagree that Pauly's not playing to win. And that it's funny the idea that Pauly has goals. But I do agree that his goals are more to come back. But I don't think that he's never going to be liked by the mainstays. And it's just like, to me, it's shocking how repeat casts, even like Southern Charm or like non-competition shows that repeat the Housewives, repeat casts of reality shows will have the most authentic rivalries, hatreds for each other. And then 2-3 seasons later, or I guess in Challenge, 2-3 years would be like 15 seasons later. They get to know each other outside of the show. They do all the production stuff that happens. They're like socialized together. I think Pauly could ingratiate himself in this bro squad, especially because guys don't hold grudges as long as women tend to do, especially about other women. Like, I don't think that Kyle and Polly will never be able to talk because of this thing with Cara Maria. So I don't know. That's like, we get to make a nice long-term bet and have like a Lillian Marshall style box with our long-term bets.
I guess he also has set himself up to be like on Rivals 4 with Brad, who'll probably be a great partner for him. So that's a good bet for him as well.
Or Kyle. I mean, just
or Kyle, either way.
It's like the team of Brad and Kyle is Paulie's rivalry.
Right.
Which I think has helped Brad and Kyle's relation. I mean, they were the fakest rivalry, so like it doesn't surprise me that they're able to come together and work together. But I think that nothing bonds someone by hating the same people. Like hating the same people. And so like Paulie has really helped their team.
Yeah, I mean, it's the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? And especially when you're already forced to be friends because you're on the same team. When you add in the fact that Polly is just doing terrible things to both of them, it's great. They can bond.
Now, would you pay money to see the fight that Brad is going to organize outside of the house?
No. Would you?
Of course not. But yeah. Brad is willing to fight Polly, but only if it's like properly merchandised, if like they're outsourcing it, they sell t-shirts. Like then he's a businessman. He's on a fixed income. He's on a very fixed income.
Well, he did say when he was talking about Polly's aggressive mind state that maybe if Polly comes at him, that Brad will just respond by sending him a letter from his lawyer. So we can both be in the market for that by the time that happens. That sounds like a good plan for us.
I don't provide any legal advice.
Same.
All right. And now I need to know a critical question. Are you with me or against me? And by that, I mean, do you like Banangela or not?
Ooh, I don't like anything to do with bananas ever. And I don't think this like softens him. I don't think this makes him like more likable in any way. So no, very opposed to Banangela. Also, the name of that, it's just, I don't like that.
Let me be clear. Nothing about my like or appreciation for this crazy couple is because it softened bananas in my eyes.
Okay.
There's not a genuine shred of like, where this is not DMNCT, like, take your wig off and I'll kiss you and the world swoons, rightfully so. Like, this is trash. Like, I'm not saying that Bananas has now redeemed himself. Part of what makes them so great is they're both such degenerates. And I say that in a way, like, as am I. Like, I love Angela. You didn't watch X on the Beach, right?
Yeah, I know nothing about Angela.
Okay.
So.
Angela's a crazy person. Takes one to know one, sister. Like, I'm not coming for her. But, because I wouldn't. You don't come for Angela. Like, Angela's terrifying. But she's just... I mean, she popped off because pillows got thrown at her. Like, that's Angela. Like, we've actually seen a subdued side of Angela. Then you add that with Bananas, who's just a complete garbage human being.
Correct.
And together, they're just like, they don't give any shits. Like, Angela's just like, Bananas is easy on the eyes, and he's my ticket to the $1 million. And I'm just like, yes, I love that. I want that on a t-shirt. I want Bananas. I want a female banana shape with, like, boobs, and I want the male banana. I'll wear it on a shirt. Like, I am so here for the lunacy that is. And then also people getting upset about it, like, people, like, criticizing her. I'm like, she knows. She doesn't care. We're all here for it.
And so she came into this with a relationship, right? That was like the big thing a week or two ago.
Yeah. So she tweeted last week some stuff about that. Apparently, our digital communications manager, I'm pretty sure she's the one who told me this, said that Tarai was her boo thang from X on the Beach. As you would expect from someone like Angela, she's wifed up minute one. Like she walks in, she's like, that's my man. They're talking about their children's names. Like, literally, the show, the credits haven't even finished airing, and, like, all of a sudden, she's married to this guy, Tarai. Then he leaves. I forget the exact timeline, because who even cares about what I'm saying right now? But she got, like, Tarai went on a date with Faith. Oh, good, you know most of these people. Tarai went on a date with Faith, and it was, like, because MTV told them to, you know, whatever. And it was like a temptation date and they like licked body oils off of each other or something like that. And then what was great about X on the Beach is they have this thing called the Shack of Secrets, where if you do something, they just show the person it would piss off. So like Angela went down to the Shack of Secrets, saw this video of Tarai's oil date, or maybe someone told it, whatever. And this is why I don't do recaps by myself, because it's so boring. All right, so whatever.
And so that's their vendetta? Is that Is that why Faith and Angela?
Yeah, but that was like week one and they totally squashed it. So that's why it was totally fake. But then another player comes into play. I know you're trying to segue out of this and you're helping me. No, I'm not. I will not let you help me.
I was going to, how did Derek and Angela, like he said, Angela is my ex. And it's like, how? Where did that come from? Like, and I didn't even know he was on that show. Why was he on that show? Why is he on any shows?
So they dated before X on the Beach. They arrived as exes. Angela is the main cast member. And the show is where your exes show up to screw things up for you. So Derek showed up as an ex.
Why are they bringing him on TV?
He actually like was a big he was more on X on the Beach than he was on any of the other shows. That's not a good thing or bad thing, but like he gave quote better TV for somebody who would like care about him on X on the Beach. Like, he was annoying, but he was actively involved in a lot of things because as retaliation for Tarai's booty licking, Angela just went and made out with Derek. Like, literally the entire time, Angela's like, I hate him. I hate you. I hate you. Like, I'm not here for you. And then just, like, grabbed him and made out to, like, piss Tarai off. Like, she just does everything you should never do. But if you do do it, it should be on television.
Right.
So then, apparently, Tarai got voted out of the house. And Angela's devastated by Boo. I'm waiting for him, whatever. And apparently, I guess they were still together after the show, and that Tarai was the boyfriend, allegedly, that she had going into the show.
And then they probably left for Final Reckoning like 2 weeks later, so whatever.
Well, he's a baby who stole money from her PayPal, so what do you want?
Okay.
Doesn't that retroactively clear her name? I don't understand your problem.
Yeah, that's definitely how that works. You're right.
Totally. The only thing I don't like about Benangela is when Tony's, like, explaining Benangela. When he was saying this, I was just like, shut up, Tony. I hate everything I love.
He seems to have it down. Like, they're playing each other. And, like, he seems to have that perfectly read. Like, there's no way either of them actually like each other, right?
Well, we did get an on-air makeout, which
Bananas doesn't do that.
I was shocked to see that because then I immediately was like, is this the first time we've seen Bananas make out with someone on television?
I mean, probably since like Key West. Don't quote me on that, but that was his Real World season, by the way. I know you're not an expert historian on these things.
Two things. One, I hate to break it to you. You could be quoted on all of this. You're being recorded right now.
Oh, yeah.
And two, I actually knew that about Bananas. I knew his Real World season because I remembered there were like hurricanes.
Yes, that's correct.
How about that? I'm not a challenge historian, but I know the Real World.
That works for me.
Yeah. And I feel like your reaction to Derek, like who date Derek, is like how I feel every time Tori and Derek are on screen together. Because next we get like a little explanation of them. Where she's complaining they have no chemistry. I'm like, newsflash, you didn't have chemistry when you were actually together.
Well, and so that seemed, at least she diagnosed the problem eventually, right?
Yeah, I guess better late than never.
Yeah.
Except now you're stuck with him on the challenge, like every challenge you've ever done. All right. We did get a dream talk. Now I'm like starting to slowly notice when we get the, what is it? When we get the things that do the drinking game.
The drinking game things, yeah.
I wasted all of my words talking about X on the Beach and now I'm tired.
Call it a podcast. We're done.
I'm like a 2-year-old. I got tired out and now I don't have patience for the rest of this. All right. Let's talk about Veronica and CT. She's the one who had the dream. She had a nightmare and she was going to be partners with one of the best guys in the history of the challenge.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing that could happen to her.
I'm getting a lot of Veronica defenders, a lot less, I'll say, than her first season back, because I think some of the Veronica stans have realized, like, ooh, this is not a good look. But
yes. So I am a Veronica defender.
I mean, not in
this sense, but like I'm a Veronica defender in the same way I'm a Jemmy defender, where making me do physical competition things and having a purge in week two, this is essentially week two, is not the way these games work. So when she's politicking and when she's socializing, she gets her way through. And so if she's back just to be doing that and then getting cut as the layup right before the final, that's pretty much her best case scenario and she hopes she sneaks through, right? And so making her, even with CT as a partner, the you know, probably one of the top, you know, obviously one of the top guys still, she still has a place on this show because she still serves that role of the wise elder who, it's not nice to her.
She's going
to
snatch her wig.
Yeah. who can socialize her way through the game and maneuver her way through.
Okay, yes, but what she's not providing me that Jemmy and even Marie at times are provide, and even like Jenna in the Redemption House, is funny, as we say, fun and funny. So funny moments, commentary, confessionals, truth or dare, grab your popcorn moments. And so, like, I don't see her value anymore.
I guess, but I don't know that they're, like, obviously they kind of have run out of their bench on women, right? They're bringing in Faith, they're bringing in Angela, they're bringing in Devon. Like, it's, they're running short. And so if you have to bring back someone who was gone for 10, 15 years and you get that, was it really that long? There's no way it was that long. And you get your nostalgic kick out of her that way, then I think she still is, she still belongs.
I guess you're right in the sense that there's nobody that's like missing, right? There's nobody I'm thinking of, like, where are they instead, who would be willing to come on
right
instead of her? But like, there have to be like untapped, they're untapped. There are more people on X on the Beach I would have rather seen.
That's your thing. I don't know that one. So I'll take your word for
but
it.
But just
that.
In the sense that like, there were a bunch of women on that show who, even if you get a rookie who's going to go out in the same spot as Veronica. And I guess the point of like, well, then who do you put CT with? Because CT, then you're going to have to bring in another man to at least pretend that there's some drama there. Yeah, I mean, that's fair in the sense that they're kind of out of people. But when all of her, like, somebody needs to be advising her. Like, if you're not going to be a challenge competitor, which that's totally fine. Like, I don't need everyone to be a beast in the challenges. Then give me something else. All of her confessionals are just how upset she is that she has to actually try this season.
Yeah, no, that's not a good look for her.
But all right, good for you for defending Veronica. I'm sure people would be happy to hear
that.
As
I instantly insult her directly after. Good defender.
She definitely doesn't listen to this. It's fine.
You think?
All right, Edmo wants to know, because we get the next scene with Jose. Thank you to everyone who clarified that Jose's name is Jose, not Josiah.
I was gonna make that the first thing I said on the podcast, but I figured you had to have like tons of people in your mentions last week being like, it's Jose, so I didn't want to pile on.
I mean, like, people got really bent out of shape about it. I thought it was funny. Like, I knew it was Jose. I mean, I don't know anything, right? So like, I thought I knew it was Jose, but if 15 people wrote it's Josiah, I would have been like, oh, okay, like, I was wrong. But people
just blame Brian, he's not here.
I mean, no, I said it was Jose. There's no just blame Brian. He's the one who said it was Josiah. I'm just saying. But people were mean about it. Like, the mentions are like, Brian, you're so wrong. Allie's right. It's Jose. Know your shit. How could you? And I was like, know the podcast you're listening to. Like, I think it's great that we call him Josiah. I think we should continue to call him Josiah the rest of the show. But I'm just used to saying Jose.
Right.
All right. Edmo wants to know, did Jose make the right play to Brad? Let's set this up. Set it up before you answer.
So Jose came back from the Redemption House. Obviously, he and Devon won whatever we're calling it last week. And he came back with, after Polly's blow up, saying, Chuck and Brittany, they did whatever. And Brad asked Jose, like, so what happened? And what Jose told Brad is that Brittany did confessed some things that were worthy of a termination of a relationship in his mind. Did I set that up right?
Yeah, no, that was perfect.
All right, great. And that she was using Brad to fill the void of missing Chuck. And so I don't think Jose told Brad anything wrong. I think that what he said was the truth, at least. I mean, obviously, Brittany was egged on in some ways in the Redemption House. But to me, it was better than what Polly did, which was just tell outright lies that are going to be proved false the second anyone watches TV. And so I think that Jose did the right thing in terms of keeping Brad on edge from a social perspective in the game, but also not saying anything that's wrong. What did you think?
Yeah, so I at first wasn't sure if he was deliberately lying or being truthful, because what he said, like, at like, I feel like maybe did happen in Redemption, but maybe we didn't see. Like, when he's saying that Chuck would give her coffee in the morning and it would be totally innocent, and then she would be like, wow, we could really get back together. So didn't he say something like that? Like,
yeah, he did.
I feel like he definitely gave the general attitude of her behavior in the house, but I think he also slipped in, like, she confessed that she wants to be back with him. And, like, I don't know that we saw that happening. Maybe it did, and we just didn't see it.
That's fair. In my defense, I was also kind of distracted during the scene because there were major continuity issues with the Brad confessionals. And this is a thing that probably only I noticed. But in Brad's first confessional, during the him and Jose talk, he had a shaved chest. And then in the second confessional, he had chest hair. And it was messing with my brain, and it wasn't okay.
That's amazing.
You go back and watch. Book it. It happened.
I don't doubt you for a second, because I noticed that they were shirtless, because when, and we should talk about this, but like, Brittany's getting a lot of criticism in the last few weeks for being like in panties in the Redemption house in front of Chuck. And Jose also added that, like, she was walking around in like basically no clothes. Like, I found it ironic that Brad was shirtless during the confession, or like during the conversation. I think he was, or if not, like,
he was.
Yeah.
But he was working out, Allie. He was just working out, like, dude stuff, you know?
I just find it ironic that guys can be completely shirtless all the time in front of whoever, but Brittany's wearing like a baggy shirt and boy shorts, and like, suddenly we have a problem.
I don't know why you would think that women are held to different standards in this society, Allie. I think that you might need to take a look at some things, because that clearly isn't the case.
Duh. I'm just a regular car, Maria.
Yeah, that's right.
But so then I think Jose's intention was more of what you got from the conversation, because he tweeted, "Welp, I said what I said. I love my boy Brad, and the facts are facts." He asked, and I answered. So, like, I don't think Brad, Josie, that
would be fun. Name number three.
L editor Josie. I don't think he's getting shit as like he lied. I don't think he intended to lie. I'm torn between wanting to know whether he exaggerated or we just got her statements edited out.
Yeah, and I mean, at that point, we're dealing in fan fiction, right? So who can really say? I think that we have enough clues that what Jose was saying was at least founded in truth,
right?
Maybe if not totally the truth.
You're not watching X on the Beach. You did not watch, which was a London ripoff. Are you part of the Love Island bandwagon?
I don't even know if I could tell you what Love Island is.
Oh my God. I knew I should have had Rourke on.
I'm a bad fit for this show.
God damn it. Love Island is a British dating show that has taken the UK by storm. It is now the most popular dating show like in the history of the UK, or show in general. It's like the number one show in general. And it's on 6 days a week.
No.
One of those episodes is always a recap. So it's just a modest, doable 5 days a week. So it's a 45 episode season. It's
for fine. How long? Like, is it a half hour? Is it like 10 minutes?
So I thought the episodes were an hour, but I'm watching season two and maybe it's a half hour. I'm not a hundo P, because I've been binging it on Hulu.
I mean, so then it's just like becomes Big Brother, right? Where it's, you know,
it's basically live feeds.
2.5-3 hours a week. Yeah, basically live feeds. Yeah.
But it's better because, so it's basically like Are You the One meets Bachelor in Paradise meets Big Brother. But like, every episode, talk about nothing happening on the challenge. Every single episode, new people come in, or a new twist happens, or they force two people controversially to go on a date, or there's a challenge. Like, something happens every episode. It is not, there's not been one moment where I'm like, wow, this season drags, and then 35 episodes later, I'm done with the season.
So they know what they're doing, at least, over in the UK.
So I feel like Kaylee's scene, where she's basically like, Nelson is having a very platonic conversation with Faith during the day, not even sitting in the same like vicinity, and Kaylee like loses her mind, is a perfect example of why people need to be watching Love Island.
Does that just happen all the time?
It's just like Brits are crazy. Like, yeah. You're not going to get mugged off Kaylee by Nelson. He's not cracking on with Faith, because you also learn amazing slang while watching Love Island.
Well, could I also just express, sorry for cutting you off there, could I express how much I don't care about Nelson and Kaylee? Like, I know that's not like a thing I should be saying on a podcast about the show, but like, I just could not care less about that relationship between those two.
90% of this podcast is just saying we don't care about the things that happen. That's fine. No, I agree. And when they were later having their whole big conversation, I just stopped taking notes. But this, yeah. I got excited because of Love Island, not because of the people involved.
But also there was a drink in there. I'm not sure if it was kind of like a hidden, whatever we're calling it when we drink for the drinking game.
But there you go.
I wrote down fake fat ass in quotes. I don't know who said it. It was either Kaylee saying it about Faith or Faith saying it about Kaylee. I only wrote down the quote. I didn't write down the context, but I know it was during that conversation.
Kaylee said it about Faith.
There we go. Boom.
Which I also think goes back to Love Island, because it is astonishing how many women have obvious plastic surgery and are not ashamed. No, I'm not saying they should be ashamed of it, but like almost everybody has lip fillers. Almost everybody has Botox. Almost everyone has breast augmentations. Someone who is the most like plastic surgeried and open about it, whatever, no problem, on Love Island season one, just got her butt done. So like, it's actually great. Like, I think that's why Kaylee like immediately goes to those kinds of digs, because like, and then I looked at Kaylee and I'm like, she kind of looks like she has lip, like everybody in England right. has lip fillers. What's going on?
Right.
So it makes sense that Kaylee's the one who like accused her of having a butt implant, which like is not a thing that you'd come to like top of mind. To me, at least.
I'm not an expert on that one, so I'll leave that be.
What do you think of the fake fat ass making a rookie alliance with Jose and Davon? How do you think of Faith's little scheming?
Aren't they the only rookie teams who are still in the house? Am I wrong on that?
That doesn't sound wrong to me. So maybe that's why they just had that conversation, like, we need to protect each other.
Yeah, like, form your alliance, but whatever. It's going to be done in 2 weeks. Like, I mean, good job, Faith. Like, realizing that you need to do something, play the game, whatever. But maybe try to, you know, like, you do have Benangela over there. I can't believe I just said that. So maybe, like, work your way in there instead of trying to hook up with two people who just got back and don't know anyone in the house and who got kicked out after the first challenge solely because they didn't know anyone in the house.
Well, also part of that is, like, kind of Faith is supposed to have this relationship with Kyle, so she thinks, but, like, Kyle probably would have been willing to throw them in when he was in power.
And apparently she has a relationship with Nelson also, but no one knows that. Well, except for Kaylee.
She might get murdered. Because right. of it. How do you think the play of them? I thought this was a good move on Jose and Davon's part to let them know about the surveillance in the Redemption House. But I want to know, is this true? Like, did they see more than we thought, or are they manipulating the facts here?
So I've missed about 15 minutes total of this season because my DVR didn't record it. And it was like the first 15 minutes of episode two. So you could have blown me over with a feather. That's the thing that no one says. I'm like 70 years old, but it just came out of my mouth. I would have been shocked to learn that they had surveillance feeds. Like I heard it on the podcast, but it hasn't been mentioned since it was introduced right. in that episode. So there's no way that they got any useful information out of it, because if they had useful information out of it, we would know about it.
Well, but I'm just not sure if they watched more clips, but it wasn't good TV to show us. I don't think they had good information, but just like.
Yeah, it definitely could be. But regardless, letting everyone think that you have good information is smart, because then you don't want to mess with them, because they may know things about you that you don't know they know.
But wouldn't you want to get them out because of it? Like, I feel like in MTV land, this could be a good play, because like someone like Tori might be like, oh, okay, like I'm afraid, like that was her reaction. Like, oh shit, what do they know about me? But I feel like on something like Survivor, if you threaten that you had information about someone, they would just, it's like when Dawson, this is a really weird thing to pull out, but when like Dawson suggested that she knew Jeff Kent, right? That
wow, was the you just went back to Survivor Philippines.
I could clock a season. How about that? So when when she like suggested that, it's like, okay, you have information about me. Well, I'm putting you in, and that's a justification. I voted for you because I don't know what you know, and now you're dangerous. But I think in MTV world, it might not be as bad.
Right. I think you're right. And yeah, and especially where there's time between nominations and the Armageddon, whatever we're calling it,
right,
where there's time for that to be exposed. This isn't like Survivor where you can just vote somebody out and they have to leave right away and they're gone forever, right? So there's opportunity to expose information that you know if you feel betrayed by people.
Good point. Never forget redemption.
That's right. That too.
All right. Let's talk about the challenge. Shark bait.
So can I say one thing about this challenge before?
You could just talk about this challenge the rest of the episode and then we can hang up. Don't, it doesn't have to be one thing.
So I hate when they do this thing where like, oh, there are sharks in the water. Watch out for those sharks down in the water. Like, no one's getting eaten on this show. That is not a thing that's going to happen. So why are you like, ooh, you, if we fall in the water, you might get attacked by a shark. Like, no, you're not. And then they put those stupid steak things up there in the sky. Because, like, get it? It's sharks. They like meat. Get it? Get it? Allie, do you get it?
I kind of liked the hanging meats. Because I was like, Veronica couldn't even get one meat. Like, it was just, I just liked it. But yeah, you're right. Like, I did think it was interesting that they had the boat and the rescue crew so visible. And I don't know if that was shoddy camera work or if they're like not usually that close, but because it's like shark infested waters, they didn't want people to have to swim. But yeah, no, that was definitely dramatized. Kayla tweeted, wait, sharks? I'm not watching. There were sharks in the water. I need an explanation. And Angela retweeted, girl, I was about to pull you and start fighting on site just to avoid this mess.
But with the stakes in the air, I guess like it's fully merging Big Brother and the challenge, because that is totally something you would see in a Big Brother challenge,
except like 2 feet off the ground and just bird poop is getting, or they're like, right, here comes the melted butter. Like,
exactly.
Although, and I have to just like attack Kayla for a minute by tweeting she's not watching the episode. Like, don't act like you're not thirsty to come back on the challenge, Kayla.
Right.
I'm not watching, right, but oh my god, sharks. all right, so I was disappointed. I thought this was going to be a true purge where we lose a bunch of teams. Brian knew this was just going to be the loser goes home. Do you like when somebody just gets bounced out without elimination?
No, I hate it. I think it, when you're dealing with these types of games, like even though this is a pretty low-level strategy game, more continuity in how the game is played allows for more creativity in how the game is played. So when you're throwing twists out there, every elimination round is different, it discourages people making any kind of moves. And so I hate that, you know, like it yeah. So it's, I don't think that people are going to be making, you know, the moves that we want them to make in this game if they're worried about how the next round of the game is going to work.
That definitely makes sense. I would prefer a full episode, including a vote and elimination. If you're not going to give me that, then I'm fine having just a team leave.
just get people out of here.
Viewer fatigue.
Yeah.
But it does feel a bit unfair. I think I didn't feel how I normally do because they did such a good job at making me ready for Veronica to leave.
Yes.
Because she didn't seem like she had anything left to give the show.
Right.
Also, right, I was scrolling through Kayla's Twitter because I wanted to see what prompted her to even write that she was not watching. And today she tweeted, I'm watching She's the Man with her boyfriend. I miss Amanda Bynes. Like, you have time to watch She's the Man, but you can't, like, watch the challenge. She's the Man is a great movie, but you've seen it at least 10 times, Kayla. Okay. Whatever. That's what I get for being on my phone during the podcast. Okay. Big news here, in addition to the meets and that you're going to lose and go home if you lose a challenge. Joss and Amanda are apparently still a thing.
Still a thing? When were they a thing?
AJ on Twitter also had the similar reaction, said Amanda and Josh are a thing. Please discuss. Don't you recall, like, the first episode, her and Josh shared an intimate kiss?
No.
No one does!
Well, no one else on this call with you remembers that.
You have to be so goddamn boring to be in a relationship, like, to be having a romance. Wouldn't that be exactly what MTV would normally want to air? They are spending more time airing a non-romance between Chuck and Brittany than they did Josh and Amanda, who are boyfriend loves, apparently, whatever.
Yeah. Joss is getting dangerously close to being on Joss Watch, I think, in these episodes.
He's not even in long enough to, you can't even see him in the background.
Right. Like, and when Amanda says, oh, I have two meats up here. I have the meat I'm jumping on. I have my man meat over there. It's like, ew.
Sorry. Okay. No, but that's what's crazy is, like, I have to ask, is this Joss's last season? Because if they're giving absolutely nothing, I feel like they either hate him, and so they're just like, he's doing stuff and they don't, because, like, that's apparently a thing reality TV producers do. Or, like, this scene with him and Sylvia where they're working out, and he's just like, oh, wait, my shoulder's working out by itself.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best thing you're able to give in confessional?
Right, so I think the problem with Joss is that he doesn't have he seems to have, like, nothing to give them. But also, he doesn't have a particularly dynamic partner. I like Sylvia a lot, but if she's not playing off of anyone, if she's not involved in the strategy, she's not giving much to the show either. So, with the two of them, I just don't know if there's anything to show.
Can you name three great Sylvia moments from the challenge?
So there was the time in Invasion where she flipped on Tony, or Tony flipped on her?
Yeah, because they were supposed to be close from Skeleton.
So, yeah, I think they were on Skeletons together. So that's one. There was last season where she ate the thing.
Yes.
That's all I got. I like Sylvia a lot, though. She seems cool.
But that's what I'm saying, is, like, I picked three for a reason, because I knew there'd be one. I thought you, of all people, could probably pull two, but there are not three iconics, and I'm sure people are going to tweet us, here's the third moment. Almost anyone else on the show, I could pull three. I could pull 10 iconic moments from Angela on X on the Beach.
And that was, like, five episodes, I think. I don't actually know that.
I could maybe stretch, but I think I could pull three Angela moments from this season of the challenge.
Yeah. No, she came in with a bang, at least. That's probably not literally true, but maybe.
And not everyone has to be an Angela, right? But I just think Joss and Sylvia are giving so little, and I think Joss is... I mean, maybe Joss is Sylvia's best partner, because I'm not complaining about Sylvia, because Joss is so much worse that if she were on by herself, I'd be like, what is she doing here?
You hurt me there. I like Sylvia a lot.
I
have no reason to like her a lot. I just do.
No, I think last season was her breakout season. She mm-hmm. was doing well. She was like, okay, I'm really here. Like, now I don't think she's here to be like a Jemmy. She's here to, like, I think when she sort of started, it was like, maybe she's just going to be like this, like, funny girl who's, like, talking shit and not doing all the challenges. And then she, like, goes to elimination. You're like, wait, she's, like, scrappy. She's pretty good at this. Like, I underestimated her physically. But now this is just a big, like,
this. Right, season. Now she's, like, in that middle ground where she's not bad, but she's also not good. So she's just not there.
Speaking of not bad, but not good, what the hell happened with Zach on these meets?
What do you mean?
That he drops out, his arms give out after two meets, and he's got to drop?
I guess that did happen. I couldn't tell you what happened there. But especially with Amanda making it all the way across after, there's something going on with Zach.
Yeah, I don't really understand. So I actually was on the challenge Reddit today, which I never am, but someone named Stomped wrote, and you can tell I don't know how to use Reddit. Like, I don't know. Stomped, I think, was the name. What an embarrassing performance by Zach. He made a sarcastic remark of shocking after TJ announced that Tony Bananas and Brad and Kyle were the best two teams, kind of implying how stacked they were. But he was the reason he and Amanda didn't finish.
Right.
Thought that was a great point, Stomped.
Shout out to Stomped.
But yeah, no, I mean, I just think, like, Zach, I can't get a read, right? Because, like, obviously we know when Zach got gassed out during the final with Laurel. But, like, I feel like he's had low physical moments, but he's also had high physical moments. I kind of thought we were past that Zach. But then talk about popcorn muscles, if we talk about on Derek, which is a great phrase.
It was great. Yep.
Like, I can't believe that Zach doesn't have the stamina to get across, like, five meets. And
I mean, these are basically like monkey bars, just really high up. And, I mean, not that I can do monkey bars either, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I totally do. I mean, I didn't volunteer to be on the challenge and climb meets. They should be able to do this. I did like Jose, the clip. Now, I forget. Do you watch Joe's versus Bros?
No.
I talk a lot of shit about it, but the clip of Jose almost drowning in a pool where it appeared that he could stand up if he wanted to was the best pitch for watching that show I've ever seen.
And it's also a drink.
No, it has to be not.
Oh, it's only
episode.
A flashback from this show?
Yeah. Oh, well, did they mention it? Did he say on Champs versus Stars?
I don't know.
Then you drink. I think he probably mentioned the show.
Yeah. But anyway, sorry. I agree with you that if there were anything that were going to make me watch Joe's versus Pros, watching the possibility of a fake reality star who is coming onto another reality show to be continue his path as a fake reality star and watching him almost drown would be high on the list of reasons to watch that show.
But it was essentially like it appeared to be a 6 foot deep pool. Like, I'm not suggesting that he was in 3 feet of water, but like you tiptoes that and you could be breathing at the surface.
And he just had to doggy paddle. Yeah. Get it? No. Okay. That's a deep BB18 pull. I'm sorry.
I was just thinking that he should go tip top toes in the pool and make myself laugh. Mike Christensen, speaking of deep BB references, said, would this challenge have been a lock for Polly?
I saw that comment, and the answer is obviously yes. He would have been bred for this.
If I had the budget like Rob to have sound drops, I would play them now for anyone who doesn't know what you're talking about. But I don't. I'd also pull the sound drop of Veronica being like, I'm short. I like that's useful.
True, though. She is short.
And I think that context was helpful, right? Because you see these people getting across and you're sort of like, what's the big deal? This is monkey bars, but meat up in the air. And then she's like, no, I'm little. I have small appendages and these meat monkey bars are hard. So I thought that like gave me some perspective at least.
And hashtag pray for CT came out of it also.
Oh, CT also, you can't, he's a fighter. I thought him messing with Jose was like really, really smart.
Oh, such a troll move. It was great. Like doing that with the two rookie teams up there, both of whom are the most likely to fail, or you would think would be the most likely to fail, was genius.
He also tried to, I heard him in the background where they were not featuring it, but he was doing it with somebody else too.
Yeah, I heard it too. I didn't write it down, but I did hear it.
But like, I thought that was a brilliant move. If Jose didn't like somehow fell off the first meet, like that stall tactic would have been brilliant. So good for
CT. It would have been a revolving door. It would have been great.
This had a problem with two things about Kara. I'm shocked. Actually, this one thing's about Kara, one's tangentially about her. First is Kara is sort of like, I really want to win because I don't want Kyle like in charge of my fate. Like, when is Kara going to accept that Kyle is not going to throw her in?
And not only that, but like, I don't want Kyle in charge of my fate. Like, this isn't, they're not picking an elimination. They're getting a significant advantage, which is definitely just going to be they get to pick the order next time. There's no fate there. Like,
well, that's, I just like, it's like when Kyle was telling Kara when he was in power, like, I'd never put you in. And she like rejected that was a real possibility. I'm like, Kara, stop trying to have fake drama.
Right.
That's my life.
But there was a real thing that really bothered you about Kara, right? Like, there had to be.
No, wait, is there something that...
You weren't bothered by Kara wanting Faith to fall because, like, so that she could be better than Kyle's girlfriend?
Oh, yeah, that was stupid as hell.
Yeah, Allie, that's not female empowerment.
Oh, my God. Call me a robot and... end this podcast. I don't know. No, that's, I don't want to end this podcast. I have a good time. But like, that's that I just didn't even bother with. That was like, I've really just moved on from Kara and Kyle shit.
Yeah.
What bothered me is Amanda somehow faults Kara for Marie falling. She's like, you're a teammate, Kara. And like, there were a lot of people who just like scurried across without their partner, like Joss. But what was Kara supposed to do in that situation when Marie fell? Like, I didn't think that was the same thing.
Are you supposed to, like, hold her hand as she, like, there's nothing, like, the only way that she can help is by kicking it back, right? But once it gets to the point where it's the rope, there's really no way that she can be helpful. And plus, they weren't losing at that point. Like, once they got to the first one, they weren't losing, and they obviously weren't winning, so just let Marie fall. Who cares?
Kara also tweeted something that, like, CT should have taken the meat, pulled it, let, like, basically put Veronica on it, sent her off so she could grab the rope, and then at least gone through the first one.
Yeah.
I think Kara needs to be quiet, but also, like, I mean, revisionist history, but I think she was also saying that, like, hindsight, whatever. I don't think CT could have anticipated that, like, Veronica would fall immediately. But I did think there were some odd choices in who took the lead.
Yes.
By going first.
Yes, and absolutely. And the next couple that we're, I assume we're transitioning into that, is the perfect example of that.
Go ahead.
Who are Tori and Derek.
Exactly, yeah.
Yes, letting Derek take the lead. And this was after the last time, in the only other challenge we've had, when Derek got to take on the lead role. And Tori was like, I should have done that. I shouldn't have let him do that. And then you go and do it again.
And I don't really, I can't tell if the dynamic is Derek being like, I got this, I'm going to take the lead, or if Tori's just like going with the gender role of like, well, all the men are going first. And
Tori doesn't strike me as someone who just goes with the gender role, but.
Because it doesn't really seem like Derek is like, I mean, then you get him like saying shut up at the end of it. So maybe it is more motivated by him, but it doesn't seem like she tries. Because then afterwards she's like, oh, I should have taken the lead, which to me suggests that like she could have if she'd wanted to.
Right.
Like, she's not like angry at him for not letting her.
Right. It's like a fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me situation. And Tori just got fooled twice.
I also thought Jose was the wrong choice to go first. Because I think he needed a little bit more help. Just in the sense that, like, he was the more afraid one.
Yeah, so I think there's a decent possibility that if Devon had gone first and left Jose on the mat, that he would have never left.
Interesting. Interesting.
So, like Devon could have, like, literally pushed him off, and I think that that might have been necessary.
All right, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
What do you think of this Tony Bananas thing, where Bananas is like, I want Tony to be an equal, and I'm going to allow him to take the lead on this one.
How nice of him to do that on a challenge where they know that there are no stakes because they're not going to lose, and there's no elimination at the end of it. Like, it's very, very polite of Bananas to help him out there, especially given the context at the end of the episode.
And also, if both of you could just get across on your own, the lead doesn't really matter.
That too.
Like, I don't really think the lead mattered so much in any of these situations. I think it was more like mental stress. Like, if somebody's too nervous or not good enough to really, really think their moves a few moves in advance, like somebody directing it. Like, I would need someone to take the lead for me. I'm afraid of heights. But like, generally, we saw a lot of people make it across when their partners fell.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't a thing where you needed teamwork to get across.
Right. All right. So Kyle and Brad, team to watch this season, take this challenge.
Yeah, remember when we used to have, like, when we thought we were gonna get gender balanced challenges because there were mixed gender teams, and we were like, oh, there's no way they can make it so unfair to make challenges that are clearly favoring men. There's no way they would do that on this show.
Do you think this is the first one, or generally do you think that the challenges have favored the men?
I think this is the first one.
Right. And like, I think part of it is the height differential. Like, Amanda gets across, Zach doesn't, right? Like, we see women thrive in the challenge. Obviously not the most, but, like, Derek is the problem on his team, whatever.
Right.
But I think the height does play a role.
Yeah, it's just, when you look at this challenge, you know that Johnny, Tony, and Kyle, Brad are going to be the top two teams. You know that.
Right.
And so, especially when that's the focus of the episode, it kind of takes the steam out of that middle act.
I wonder, because we don't really have two, like, physical beast women paired together. Like, if we had, like, Kara and Laurel on this season, like, I think we wouldn't just be saying that because those are four men. Like, I think they'd be in contention every challenge. It's just the women teams are not both physical threats.
Yeah, and can you imagine if Devin were still, we know that Devin was supposed to be on the season, right?
Yeah.
If Devin were there for Tony, like, there would only be one power team this season, and that would be very weird.
I was thinking something similar, just in the sense that, like, I think this season is really going to inflate Kyle's head going into the next season. And it's so interesting because I do think on a normal season, Kyle is good. But I don't think Kyle is winning every single challenge every single week on his own or in like a different, more balanced field. But I don't think he appreciates that at all. He's like, I am the top of the top of the challenge.
Right. Like, he's very clearly like a top quarter player.
Right.
And he is on one of the two teams where he is matched up with another top quarter player.
But I don't think he's appreciating that.
No, I don't think he understands that. No.
He's better than the field. And like, the field is weakened besides him and Brad.
Right.
We have some speculating to do on this advantage that Kyle and Brad are going to win. You speculated that it's making the order of the teams. Kind of similar to this. Tom Palmer says on Twitter, so the only twist from the last two seasons not already used is the grenade. Do you think that that's what Brad and Kyle won? Who would/should they use it on? And how will Kart react when Kyle definitely uses a grenade?
So I tend to not think it's a grenade because the grenades existed. I mean, I'm going to be proven wrong next week, probably. At me. But so the grenades usually were used for like to take money, right? Like, or to have a small disadvantage for one person in the next challenge. But mostly it was, are you going to be greedy or are you going to try to take this out on somebody? And there is no money at play in this season.
Well, some of the grenades were like making the order making the teams, tying your legs together so you can't compete in the challenge.
Right.
So, yeah.
But if it is a grenade, I would have to think that they either pick some weak team, like, you know, a Davon Jose type of thing, where no one cares if you use it on them, or he's just going to go after Kara and it's going to be really funny.
Yeah, I don't see him actually using it on Kara, but I'm trying to think of who else. I don't see them using it on Bananas and Tony.
Right.
Although they should. If it's any sort of... I think if it's not a grenade... Oh, which I think it could be, but if it's not, I think it's going to be a grenade-esque benefit, like somehow handicapping another team or giving your team an advantage, right? Like, it's grenade-y, grenade-esque.
Yeah, the problem with handicapping another team and picking Johnny and Tony is that it's going to be so hard to get the power players out this season because of how the elimination is structured,
right?
That I don't know if you want to be making enemies in week three.
Right. I could see them doing it a kitschy way, like, look, it's always us 1-2, haha, we're gonna slow you down, like, and like not necessarily making like an enemy situation, especially because they won't be going into elimination. They just want to secure their spot. But I agree with you. I think it might be stupid now that I'm thinking about it more, like, because do they really need to be in power again? Because again, that you get to pick the Armageddon twist where if you vote in Kyle and Brad, they could pick you to go in. Like, a weak team, which is almost everybody, is not going to want to put themselves at risk for that.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. We get a little bit of the Redemption House. Were you surprised that we didn't get to see more of the Redemption House, given how much MTV seems to love Polly?
I was a little bit surprised. Like, we got the Polly fallout, and honestly, it kind of seemed like Polly was boring at the Redemption House now that he doesn't have anyone to play off of. Without, you know, the possibility of a blow up, and with him only having his idol, which that's a weird thing that CT is his idol. But
I mean, there's nothing sincere about anything Polly says. Certainly the least sincere thing is Polly pretending like he knows anything about the challenge.
The most iconic player in challenge history.
Oh my God. It was so fake. Like, I don't want people to pretend that they know the show. Leave that to the podcasters to pretend they know the show.
And Davon did the same thing. I don't know if she was pretending, but she, when they were talking about the all rookie alliance, she's right. Like, look, they're sending rookies in. They do that every season. It's like, do you know that? Or have you just been told that?
The most
Natalie's reaction when Veronica woke her up woke her up because Polly was just sitting there wide awake and had no reaction when she walked in until she woke up Veronica was great.
How now,
brown cow?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, like, when I was watching this episode, I thought I was going to be doing the show with Brian. I was like, I don't normally plan my intros. It was like, ooh, perfect. Brian's going to be like, how are you? And I'm going to be like, how now?
It was just, I mean, I couldn't tell if she was acting or not. Like, it didn't seem like she was actually asleep. Like, the lights were totally on. Polly was just sitting in the bed next to her, wide awake, just sitting up. But
I thought that she just woke her up, because that's like how I would act if I was woke up.
Right. So either she's actually a good actress, or they just woke her up. So she's probably just woke her up.
Well, the person who was not acting was CT. Homie, don't play.
He's mad. He's really mad.
Was this an overreaction, an appropriate reaction? You're probably not going to say this, but an underreaction.
It was. I mean, I get that he's mad, right? And I get that he probably he has to think this is over. There's no way they're winning their way back into the house unless it's a double cross Armageddon, whatever thing that is actually a one-on-one challenge. That's their only, probably their only chance.
They could have done that puzzle with the bungees, that elimination that Cam and Kaylee won.
I guess.
Because Veronica can do puzzles. So if CT's getting the pieces and she just has to put a puzzle together, I think she could do that.
That's fair.
Better than Polly and
Veronica
Natalie.
Has to pull a sledgehammer out of a wall.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah. And so I kind of think it was just, I get he's mad. I still kind of thought he was a lot over the top with it.
Yeah, I think generally CT, should have known this was going to happen the day he walked in. And in a sense, he did, because he kept complaining about her the entire season.
Right.
But, by the time they get eliminated, you knew you were not winning this challenge.
Right.
So I don't really get why he was so angry.
I totally agree.
Kara has to stick her nose in on Twitter, said, playing devil's advocate. Imagine if I threw that tantrum against my partner. Already smelling the smoke from being burned alive in my entitled fire.
She's not wrong, but I'm also surprised that Cara Maria has not discovered that women are held to different standards in this society than men are.
Chin scratch emoji, but man, do I understand the frustration. Not about having a partner, quote, not being good. It's about them wanting to win. She is right. But Kara is the girl who cried double standard. So when she does have a double standard, I'm sort of whatever.
Right. We talked about that last time I was on.
Is a double standard.
Yeah.
But no, but I'm not saying that CT was right here. So I think that's the other thing. CT threw a tantrum that was kind of stupid because he should have been over it from the beginning. And it's not helping anything to just berate her.
Right. To the point where she's not actually going to quit, but it's a solid threat on her part. Calm down or else we're actually going to go home.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't put it past her to do that.
Yeah.
All right. They go out to the club. This is when I was oh my God, this episode's still happening. This is probably when our listeners were oh my God, this podcast is still happening.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, everyone.
And also I've just been coughing incessantly. So annoying. We get a moment where Nelson says that he will buy drinks. We got a tweet. Brianna, Argu Bright said, part of the newest challenge fan group that started watching with Vendettas. So welcome to the trilogy. Do they have to pay for their own drinks while they're out? Am I dumb for thinking this would be an open bar?
They definitely have to pay for their own drinks when they're out, right?
Yeah, on Real World, they definitely do, because it would often be a topic of conversation, right. Who wasn't paying the bills. I think they do for the challenge also. I think that's also been a fight with CT. CT got stuck with a really big bill a couple seasons ago.
I remember something like that.
Yeah, so it's kind of shocking that they pay for drinks when they go out, because they don't pay for drinks at the house. So I'm sort of we'll just play some music at the house. But I'm cheap, I guess. I'm not winning millions of dollars for being on the challenge.
I mean, neither are they. But yeah, I mean, there's no way MTV is paying that much for them. They don't care that much about them. They took them to South Africa. That's enough.
And then we get a little bit more of Bananas and Tony, but I was pretty impressed with Tony that he's Bananas is trying to have a sentimental moment with him. You're my little brother. And Tony is you have to quit with that, because I'm not your little brother. And you have to start respecting me. I thought that was good for Tony.
Absolutely. That was great for Tony. We're partners now. You're not going to keep treating me like this little kid who you're going to drag along to the end. Remember last season, I sent you home.
Boom.
Don't forget that.
I also couldn't stand, like, Banana's still on that I wouldn't have done it to you bullshit. You literally took Sarah's prize money. Like, there's nothing you wouldn't do. So you've lost that. Like, and I think he believes it. There's no doubt. He has cut Tony. Like, Tony was always at the bottom of that alliance. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you can't see my face right now, but, like, or my arms, but my, like, when you start saying that, like, I just threw my hands up in total agreement. Like, it was a preach moment where, like, you took, what, a quarter or an eighth of a million? That's weird fraction. a lot of money from Sarah. And you're like, oh, I would never hurt you. I would never have cut you in the middle of the game. Like, come on.
No, he absolutely would. Still would. He's his own teammate now. Probably will still cut him somehow. Find a way to do it. All right, but we have a little social media. This cast has been pretty quiet on social media besides, like, Kara. I've been peppering it in throughout the episode of this podcast. But before we get to the two, one major news item and one thing I just thought was funny, let's thank our 5-star reviewers. Really appreciate it. One person said that I sound like Kayla to the point where they had to double check to make sure it wasn't Kayla on the podcast. Interesting.
I don't know if that's a good thing. And they still give you a 5-star review for that?
I could see it. Like, I don't think I sound like her that much, but she also has kind of like a deep voice,
I guess.
So I love KDJ. I watch television. Me too. And how would you, who signed it? Anna. So thank you, Anna. thank you, everyone. If you want to leave us some love, we also, I like said, we had 291 last week. We're up to 298 5-star ratings. So I think we can get to 300. Thank you to everyone who didn't leave a comment. But if you leave a comment, we're able to thank you. You can help us get there at robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. So two things. One is Johnny Bananas tweeted a king in his castle with a drone video with a prince emoji and a castle emoji. Honestly, I think it's one of the funniest things. Everyone needs to go look at it and tell me if they think it's as funny as I do. I watched it like 18 times. It's basically a close-up of Johnny Bananas in a red beret and like a white scarf. And then he zooms out, the drone like flies away, and he's in this like candy cane looking castle in Italy and it or France. It absolutely killed me. It's so stupid. Check it out. He tweeted it on August 4th. It's pretty high up in his tweets.
So I'm scared of clicking on it because I don't want the sound to happen.
I don't think there's any sound.
Okay. Oh, there's definitely sound.
That's fine.
Well, now I'm just watching it. This is great podcasting. I'm just watching a video and dancing to myself. What is he doing? What is that? He's like in a gingerbread house.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect. So that's not news, but it did make me laugh. So there you go.
Was that provided to you by Megan Elizabeth?
No, that was my own. That was my own. Everything else was provided by Megan Elizabeth. That was me. Okay. That's why we have somebody who does... who does the tweets, because that's the news that I find interesting. All right, so big news. This was provided by Megan Elizabeth. This was also covered in Us Weekly by Emily Longaretta. Brittany and Brad broke up this week.
Yeah, no kidding.
yeah, so she revealed it on the Challenge Mania podcast. I can't believe she didn't come to us with that exclusive.
I know. You didn't reach out in time.
Also, Nelson tweeted, like, that he's got some tea and, like, oh, I hear people going on podcasts in the UK to spill tea. Maybe I should go on the podcast. Like, should I go on a podcast or should I wait to the reunion? And I literally started typing, like, you're welcome on our podcast anytime. And I deleted it because I'm like, we talk so much shit about Nelson and I'm not thirsty enough to
reach out. Do you actually want Nelson on your podcast?
I mean, if Nelson wanted to come on the podcast, he's 100% welcome. If anyone wants to reach out to him, that's fine. But I just felt disingenuous meeting Matt.
Just hope he does no research at all if he decides to come on.
I think it's a pretty safe bet with most of the people who've been on the show.
That's true.
All right, so this was Brad's statement to Us Weekly. We've recently came Well, we've recently came to an agreement that it would be best to focus on our own personal lives. Don't apologize for being funny. He still has so many loose ends. Wait, this is a... Oh, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. It said, Brad confirmed the split to Us Weekly and then had a quote, but it's a quote from Brittany.
Okay.
So she said, we've recently came to an agreement that it would be best to focus on our own personal lives. He still has so many loose ends with his ex-wife, as in getting back on his feet. He just bought a house. He needs to focus on him right now. And I obviously need to focus on myself and getting my shit back together. Brittany, 27, said during the interview, we both need to honestly love ourselves a bit more before we can try to give more to each other. Also, is that a spoiler that he just bought a house? Did he recently come into some money?
Well, no, because he's not going to know he came into some money until the very end of the season, until like the end of the third finale.
Right. Ooh, dodge a bullet there. So then Brad told Us Weekly in an interview that, quote, what I had viewed in the last two episodes had made me uncomfortable, but it's not the sole reason for our breakup. Britt and I have made a lot of great memories and still have an incredible connection of energy to this day. I really look at it as timing issue. I was ready to move on. I don't think she was. I'll take some of the blame for that.
So a couple things. Obviously, I've never had a public breakup. My relationships never make it to Us Weekly for whatever reason.
Not yet. We get to five podcasts. I'm there.
But I feel like a pro tip for people who are giving statements about their breakups to the gossip press, whatever we call that. Don't talk about the other person and their reason for wanting to end things. Like, Brittany's saying, like, Brad isn't ready for this and he just bought a house and blah, blah, blah. It's like, let Brad say that.
Brad's statement is like, she was my rebound and, you know, I'm an adult. She didn't get that. Like, that's what Brad's comment was.
So, yeah, I have two kids and an ex-wife of less than 2 years ago. And, you know, she was there. Like, you don't want, if you're Brittany, don't be like, oh, look at all these real person reasons. Don't do that.
Yeah, poor Brittany. Not to say that I didn't expect it, but RIP.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the reunion. I feel like they probably won't have spoken for the reunion. And then she'll be like, well, you slept in my hotel room last night. And the crowd will go, ooh. And Ness will be like, what? So that's my prediction.
Do you think they bring Tori back at the reunion?
Oh, I was like, of course Tori's going to be there. No, she's on the show.
The other Tori.
Oh, God. Maybe like via FaceTime or pre-recorded video.
Okay. Write that down.
But I don't think she's in the market to comment on Brad and Brittany's relationship on TV. Because like, I think she'll tweet about it, but she wants to come off as though like she was supportive and didn't really get involved.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
Just like sort of what happened.
Yeah.
All right, I think we've reached the end of this harrowing journey.
What do you think is going to happen with Brad and Brittany now that we know they're broken up in real life? We were left with this cliffhanger.
Oh, I forgot about that. When they freeze the picture in the funniest way possible.
That was so bad what they did to Brittany there. Like,
I forgot I'm going to be the one. I was like, oh, I hope Brian picks that for the whatever.
Oh, you get to pick.
The icons. Now I get to do it. I'm going to try to find that.
And by the time people get to this part of the podcast, they'll know whether you succeeded or not.
Yes. They're obviously not going to break up. I think she's just going to like deny everything and be like, I love you so much. And they're trying to mess with your head. They told me you were going to, and it's going to be a big nothing.
Yeah. What a terrible situation for Brittany to be put in here, by the way. Will Simon talked about this on Twitter a little bit, but like, you know, like she has no idea what Polly said. And then like she's getting a 5-minute phone call from Brad, which is totally out of protocol. FaceTime from Brad, which is totally out of protocol on these shows. And she's going to get blindsided by this. And it's like, oh, and by the way, you only have 5 minutes to talk to her.
Yeah.
Like, what a terrible, terrible situation that they're putting her in, which is, of course, why they're doing it.
I do think that she's going to be like, oh, my God, Brad. Like, I think she's going to get to a place where Brad believes her.
If there's any semblance of trust at that point in the relationship, like, has to.
And just but also because she's going to be like, Polly told me he was going to do this.
also that. Absolutely. Right. That minor detail.
So we will see what happens next week. Neither of us will be here next week. So
what if Brian calls me in to sub for you?
Brian,
is Dane confirmed?
Brian can call you in to sub for me. So if he knows you're available.
So there you go. I'm not going to be here. That's not a thing that's going to happen.
So you won't be hearing from us, but we will both be listening to whatever Brian has to say. You can subscribe at robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me at Lash Tweets, and they can follow you
at JoFo322.
And we will talk to you soon.